Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, boy. That's what makes white folks happy when we display our love for what they did to us. So we the cotton pickers. We're the ink spot. And when the Jews become your manager, you're the ink spot. They're mocking you all the time. They write songs for you to sing on Broadway. And you're so happy to be on Broadway singing, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, she's nothing. Got my Lord, I got him the whole day long. And you come back to the hood, you come to see me on Broadway? Broadway
and greetings. Welcome to this special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, we are coming to you live and in living color. And this is one of our special editions that we call Million Woman March Week 21. Every day this week, we will be bringing you a special edition of New Day. And today, we wanted to make certain that we gave recognition to our brothers. Certainly, 23 years ago, something happened today, and while, you know, some had issues with it, for the most part, it was indeed incredible. The thing is, how do we move forward? Well, we're going to talk about that, but we're going to also talk about some things that we know are actually happening and will be happening. I want you to check this out, though.
You don't even realize that when they brought you to church and made you their kind of Christian, that was real voodoo. Did you know that Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture, in 1804 with voodoo at their back, they rolled the French out and formed the first black republic in the world? And they've been paying for it ever since. So when they talk to you about African religion, they want to mock African religion. But it was African religion that caused those African people to whip Napoleon's backside. That's right. And guess what? The French were in New Orleans at the time. Some of you from New Orleans, with a French name, you know, looking real Frenchy. With our light skin and our curly hair, French been doing a job on us. But after your black brothers from Haiti drove white folks out of Haiti, the French said, we better buckle up our boots and shoes and get the hell out of here. So right on the heels of that revolution, America bought the Louisiana Purchase for $15 million, a great swath of land in the middle of what you call the United States of America. And they brought white people from Eastern Europe and gave them land and gave them money and gave them machinery some of those same people were brought here, and they were the Purple Gang. Oh, yes. Is that Canada over there? That is Canada, isn't it?
All right. In the background, we've been listening to Minister Louis Farrakhan. And the reason why I felt it appropriate to, of course, play some excerpts from the speech he gave just this past Sunday, again, is because today is the 23rd anniversary of the Million Man March. Some of the, I think, wording that we just heard, some of the speech, if you wish, I think was not only very, very important, but for me, it's almost prophecy. And the reason why I say that is because it just so happened that approximately a week ago, a decision was made where a Million Woman March would, in fact, be going to New Orleans in a few months to deal with the issue of police and governmental terrorism in particular, but also as a part of our We Charge Genocide human rights campaign. So I just kind of found it very, very interesting that in Mr. Farrakhan's speech, who knows, to my knowledge, nothing about what we're getting ready to do, happened to really put a focus on the area known as Louisiana as a part of the speech on Sunday. I also found it interesting that when I was looking for the speech, it was very difficult to find, even though it was pretty easily to find on the Nation of Islam's website, but usually Minister Farrakhan's speeches are easy to find on YouTube or some other area of the internet. Well, for some strange reason, and I don't know if you all kind of saw this or ran into this problem, but it was very difficult to find the speech that was given on Sunday, except, again, for the Nation of Islam's official website. I haven't had the opportunity to listen to the entire speech. I usually do. I usually hear the live stream when it's happening, but MWM has so much going on this year in preparation for the next 2 years that I just did not get a chance to listen on Sunday, but certainly plan to listen to the entire speech or most of it at some point this week. Again, you know, 23 years ago, what occurred in Washington, D.C. was incredible. Good, bad, or indifferent, it certainly was something different, okay? Different for that time period. And something that did, in fact, have an impact on many, many lives. Of course, there's been debates about it, just as with the Million Woman March. But when you weigh it out, you have to look at, you know, what was really accomplished or what was put in place. You know, I've gotten a lot of criticism over the years about the Million Woman March, what it could have done, should have done, and all this kind of stuff. But over these past 20 years, I also have the opportunity to look very carefully at who's really doing what, and particularly people that say certain things about things happening or not happening. I tend to also look at what are they doing, what have they done, what are they trying to do, and so forth. And 9 times out of 10, it's minimal at best. So I think it's important that we do our criticism based on some real kinds of intelligence analysis and real in-depth, you know, kinds of things that will allow us to deal with truth. Don't get me wrong, to deal with the truth, but also to make certain that we don't do what white folks would love for us to do, and that is to nitpick and tear our own stuff apart. That doesn't mean that we should not, again, do critical examination. Absolutely. I encourage it. I welcome it. And that, to me, is a part of real growth and development. But at the same time, I know BS when I hear it also. And over these past 20 years, I can tell you I've heard quite a bit of that on both ends. Now, today, again, is significant for me, for MWM, meaning Million Woman March, because last year, our 20-year anniversary, we sent out many requests to many black men's organizations, groups, individuals, to support our effort in now not just rebuilding or establishing the next steps for the Men on the March, but literally bring forward the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent worldwide. I mean, that had never been done before either. So obviously what we were talking about and doing warrant, you know, some kind of support, really. Certainly that did not happen. And, you know, it was very disappointing, but not surprising, because the reality of our people, you know, is pretty obvious right about now. And that we do not have ample institutions nor services on a day-to-day basis for the masses of our people. And so that has to send a serious message to us all, if not, you know, clearly, at least psychologically. And so, again, we did what we should have done, which was to at least ask, to at least seek out support. It did not happen. But of course, for those brothers that did stand with us, that did genuinely support, you know, much love and respect to them. And, you know, we will always hold them dear to our hearts. We also, you know, it's also duly noted to the fake ones, too. And so with that, you know, and I'm not saying that because they didn't support. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, again, from a critical analysis standpoint, the fact that, you know, there's a much bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is, how could support have helped our people, our families, our communities, not individuals per se, but the whole. And that was not obviously taken into consideration. And so, you know, it is what it is. And it's not like we haven't seen these things before in some parts of our history. Certainly we have. And this is why, again, I think, you know, we're in a day now of actual the manifestation of prophecies. Because truly it has been kind of ordained and indicated that some things were going to happen that were going to be very different and that really were going to make a difference. I dare say the Million Woman March and its universal movement is one of those things. And so tonight, what we wanted to convey to you all is that a letter is in fact going to Minister Farrakhan directly, requesting the support of himself and other black men, not for the Million Woman March and its universal movements per se. No, not at all. We've attempted to do that. It didn't happen, all duly noted. But what we are requesting is that support be given to our We Charge Genocide 21 campaign, which for next year is going to be a major rally, as well as a Black Human Rights Summit. Now, this year, we kind of put things in place when we did the 50-year anniversary commemoration of the Black Power Conference that took place here in Philadelphia. It took place in 1968, and we did a kickoff to commemorate that this past August, the end of August, early part of September. Now, Philly, as we've mentioned before, is a very interesting city, in that the criticism goes beyond the norm, to say the least. And we were able to really see that demonstrated as we went to deal with doing the 50-year anniversary commemoration of the Black Power Conference. What people did not know is that we had always planned for it to be a year-long kind of activity, and with that, we'll be taking it to other cities. But we just wanted to see, again, we already saw last year that there would be little to no support in Philly from most of the established groups and organizations. We already knew that for the Men and Women March, that would be minimum at best, because experience has showed us that. And that is because we can't be bought, we can't be sold, we will not compromise, and certainly our focus is absolutely Black and with the intent of developing independent institutions. There are very few independent institutions in Philadelphia, as in most cities. So to present that kind of, you know, ends up being a slap in people's faces, particularly when they've had access to money, resources, connections, and so forth, and yet have nothing independent to show that is of any real value to our people. So MWM created a situation in the city that we've been paying for ever since. Just like what Minister Barragán said, that by the Africans of Haiti and Haiti went up against the French, to this day, they're paying a price for that. Well, MWM is still paying a price for going up against the system and going up against the status quo and going up against a lot of other stuff that is, you know, so obvious to most of us. Well, we've done it. We're going to continue to do it. And now we figured out how we're going to do it and do so victoriously. Hence, next year, we will not only continue with the Black Power initiatives, because we know that 50 years have passed, but we're looking at 50 more years. But with that, to learn from that 50 years in order for there to be a 50 years that can really be now productive. So we're going to be telling you more about that from as we begin to unveil our Black Print 2020, which, of course, is now available. Next week, of course, is the anniversary, the 21-year anniversary of the Historic Million Woman March, and with that, we prepare for the inauguration of our A Million Black Women Rising. And so with that, what we are planning to do is to take our movement nationwide, recruit aggressively, and really seek out sisters at this particular point in time that really are serious. Meaning not just, you know, want to deal with hoopla and you know, glitz and glamour. No, but that really, really want to get involved, to do some serious work. We're going to really start reaching out for more of that. Of course, there are other components for MWM, which, you know, sisters can be involved in. But again, it's going to be a major effort and emphasis placed on women of African descent who really know what time it is or want to know what time it is and are really willing to put the time in to do what is necessary. And so, again, there will be a media briefing here in Philadelphia on October 25th. We will be over at the Paul Wilson House starting at 7 o'clock. And, again, that will be a community information session as well as a press news briefing. The press news briefing will announce the We Charge Genocide campaign and what's going to happen for 2019, which will be, again, a Black Human Rights We Charge Genocide Summit that will take place in New York. We'll tell you more about that next week. Again, the press conference is October 25th, which, of course, is the actual day anniversary of the Historic Million Woman March. This will be 21. And if you have heard us previously talk about MWM, then you may be familiar with us talking about how 21 is kind of symbolic and in another kind of format, metaphysically speaking. And so now we bring forward some of the things that we've been talking about, but now in some other ways. Now, this week, along with this being Million Woman March Week and us doing broadcasts every night this week as a part of Million Woman March Week, we will meet over at the Free Library on Thursday, which will be October the 18th. We'll be there starting at 5:30 until 8:30. And for those who want to come and sign up to volunteer, get membership information, and particularly for young sisters, we now are ready to activate our Little Sisters program, which includes rites of passage, but also other kinds of initiatives for our girls 7 to 17 years of age. We have a component known as saving our daughters, because our research is indicating that our young girls are, many of them are in serious trouble, and it's going to take black women, serious black women, to make a difference in that kind of situation. We're looking at sex trafficking. We're looking at not just peer bullying and all of that. We're looking at some beat downs. I mean, some serious kinds of things going on with our girls in many of our urban cities. And the question has to be, what are black women doing? And I don't mean with some of these, you know, programs, you know, these mentoring programs, you know, that is funded by the government and that, you know, is really like weak. I mean, really. What are women really doing to address these issues with some of our girls? And so NWM is stepping up to the plate and stepping up to the situation. And as such, again, we are recruiting our women that really want to be big sisters to our little sisters, in such a way that the traditions of our people is provided for them, both traditionally and contemporarily, but in such a way where we don't have them just to turn out to be some more Negroes, that they not only have confidence and self-respect and honor, but they also have a commitment to our communities and our families. And understand that, you know, we want them to be academically astute, but we also want them to be social politically astute. And so that means they will be doing things in the community as a part of their rites of passage and other kinds of training. So, again, our focus and approach is very different, we feel, because, again, we are not trying to produce any more of the type of people that this government wants to just use for their own purposes. We have to make certain that we change that scenario, and we certainly plan to. So this year, you will begin to see some of our educational materials and other kinds of paraphernalia that will help to make certain that the MWM position, philosophy, et cetera, is crystal clear. With that said, and then we're going to get ready to go to our phone lines, because we've got a couple of people that want to chime in, and we certainly invite you to do so. But we want to also let you know that we've already gotten, you know, messages and reports about the Women's March coming in January again. They're now doing it annually. Well, we knew that that was going to happen. And so on October 25th, we will begin to convey what it is that MWM and its Universal Movement and now A Million Black Women Rising Federation, not just organization, federation, because this is something that is a little beyond the norm, again, and it is based on some very historical kinds of things. So to have a federation represents another mode of operations, and so we will be introducing that. At the same time, again, on October 25th, we will begin to share what some of our strategic plans are in moving forward with the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. We think that you all are going to be, you know, really kind of liking what we're getting ready to do, particularly when it comes to making certain that we represent ourselves, that there will be no confusion about black women who are, in fact, coming from a position based on our history, culture, experiences, and so forth, and that we have no allegiance to no party, to no Democratic Party or Republican Party or Green Party or White Party or any other party. other than what we decide we want to involve ourselves in. And again, when it comes to political operations for those purposes only, we have no illusions about any of these things in terms of, you know, to what degree will we be embracing them? Will we play the game with them? Absolutely. And as such, we have created now the Million Woman Party. Again, if you are interested in any of the things that I've said and you are in the Philadelphia area, then you want to come out on Thursday. This Thursday, again, we'll be at the Philadelphia Free Library at 19th and Vine Street starting at 5:30 p.m. We will be in room 108 until 8:30, and actually we will be meeting there every month for the rest of the year. And then we'll issue a calendar where we will begin to provide information about our monthly meetings and other kinds of sessions. Okay, we're going to go to our lines now and see if you all have anything that you wish to share with us. Again, this is the 23rd year anniversary of the historic Million Man March. And again, on this day, it is our intention for Mr. Farrakhan to receive the letter and the message that we're requesting a meeting with him, and or representatives, officials of the nation. And we'll be doing this with other groups and organizations as well. Again, not to ask them to support the Million Woman March Universal Movements. No, we've done that already. We did not get a response that we should have gotten, but that's okay. But what we are going to be requesting is that we are able to get their participation in some kind of way as it pertains to the obtainment of a million signatures that we plan to take to the United Nations at the end of 2020. That million signatures is kind of the first step in a major, major campaign because, you know, once we take the signatures, then there's other international things that have to happen, but that's the first phase. This will enable us to educate our people about what human rights are. We're not asking people to just sign a petition. No, not at all. We'll be going into communities, having sessions, talking about what is crimes against humanity, what is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, what is human rights, how is this all relevant, what is the difference between civil rights and human rights, why is it in the 21st century there's not more discussion about human rights. So again, this is not just to, you know, have a conference or sign petition or whatever. This is hands-on. This has a projection of a 3 to 5 year direct action kind of operation. And again, it's going to be somewhat groundbreaking in many ways. And again, I can't go into some specifics just yet because we still have information that has to be submitted to the United Nations, and we want to get that on record first before we begin to provide some things publicly. But you did hear Baba Bilal Suni Ali with us a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about a, you know, confederation, meaning a group of folk who will be coming together to do some things as it pertains to the international operations. Well, with MWM, we do have our own plan of action and so forth, which again entails the million signatures. But after we deliver the million signatures to the United Nations, then the work really begins. So right now, we're formulating committees nationwide, particularly in urban environments. Those committees and task forces are going to start compiling data. And this information is not just for police murders, beatings, et cetera, law enforcement, excessive force or what have you. This our Recharge Genocide 21 covers the entire gambit. We're talking about gentrification, mass incarceration. We're talking about homelessness, environmental racism. You know, these things are all relevant to genocide, but we're going to connect these over this over a course of time, of course, from 200 years ago up until now. But again, to do so in this way where we're getting those reports from at least 10 or so cities, states even, this again continues the work of Paul Ropes and William Patterson, 1951, We Charge Genocide, when they, I mean, the documentation of the lynchings and the murders that were submitted was incredible. We know that the history of Ida B. Wells and her work in being able to report and document lynchings. We also know, of course, there were others that people don't even really talk about that much. We talk about Madame C.J. Walker, who is one of our sister saints, by the way, but do you know of her involvement in fighting against the lynchings of our people? You know, these are the kinds of things that now must be put in a way where it is readily available to our people, and MWM has taken a position to make certain that that happens. Okay, I'm going to stop there, and what I'm going to do is go to our lines because we want to open up the mics for you all. This week is primarily the opportunity for all of you to share information. But again, as it pertains to Million Woman March, as it pertains to, you know, your ideas, your opinions, your views, et cetera, about some of the things that we are talking about, some of the things that we're doing, and some of the things that even you are doing that is connected to some of the work, some of the missions, some of the platforms. Again, this Thursday, we will be at the Free Library starting at 5:30. Next week is the actual Million Woman March anniversary. We will also be in Baltimore doing some things, starting to set up our committees there, but also we are planning to visit the Great Blacks in Wax Museum, okay? So we'll be talking more about that this week as well. Okay, we're going to go to a caller who wants to share their thoughts. And caller, you are at 7285. Your mic is open, and welcome to this special edition of New Day, and also our salute to the Million Man March. Greetings to you.
Yes, greetings, greetings, everyone. This is Sister Liz.
Yes,
and that was a very good speech that Louis Farrakhan was talking about, and it kind of sent a chill through me because when he talked about how Louisiana and the French, how the French had, the names, our people's French names. And it's funny because my last name is French, and I'm still trying to figure out where we come from, where I come from, where my ancestors come from. I know is my name is French. We were somewhere down in North Carolina. I don't know. Virginia, we was all over. There's a massive plantation in North Carolina, But, as far as the Million Women March, I went to the Million Women March first time in 1997 with my two daughters. They were 10 and 12, my two cousins, and my sister. And it was awesome. And it's funny because I didn't know anything about why it was a gathering, what the gathering represented. I just knew that there was a calling for all black women. That's all I knew. And at that time, I was living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country. So 20 years later, I see on Facebook they're doing another one at the 20-year anniversary. And that's when I got reconnected with the sisters who were there then and met you, Empress. And I'm telling you, it's been a journey. It's been a great journey. And I'm so grateful and so appreciative of all of the work that you have put into this and to keep it going. And so now I'm a part of working on doing some work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we're doing is having the sisters sewing and sewing class. And we've been collecting materials to get it started. We have locations ready. And we just need people to sign up. So sign up.
That's right. And that reminds me, for those, again, who are interested in learning more about the sewing classes and family, keep in mind, there's two types of sewing classes. One is S-E-W-I-N-G, and the other one is S-O-W-I-N-G, because we are making certain that we're able to look into the future. And with that, our focus is to become self-sustaining all across the board and to become even more self-determined. So by training our sisters, and at this point, we put an emphasis that our outreach is to women who are formerly incarcerated, also known as returning citizens, and also sisters who have gone through some form of abuse, physically, mentally, spiritually, that want to go through a process that will help them to heal. These sewing classes, and by the way, knitting, crocheting. Sister Gabrielle will be teaching crocheting. We selected these items or these particular areas for specific reasons. They serve at least three purposes. One, again, to enable our sisters to connect with each other in a way that provides a healing element. Two, for those who are looking to put another skill in their arsenal. Three, it will provide us with a power workforce of our women because we're going to produce some of our own products. And four, for those who want to be more independent in terms of having their own business, they will now be able to do that as well. So, you know, so those are just some of the major things, the major areas that that these classes, these sessions will accomplish and enable our sisters to move forward. Again, we're talking about sewing, as in fabric, as in sewing machines, tailoring skills, etc., crocheting as well. But the other one, sewing, again, is S-O-W. We're talking about that with planting, agriculture, horticulture, botany. Those things are relevant to the earth. Growing. Again, there's a healing mechanism connected to that. And we're planning to grow some of our own herbs. Why? Because herbology, aromatherapy, all of those things lend to a more positive outlook, feeling, and things that go with it. And so, you know, we have a plan. Our plan, and again, is rooted in our history and culture. And so Sister Liz is the go person for this project. So Sister Liz, give them some information on how they can connect with you so they can sign up. And by the way, it's twofold. You either can be a student, meaning one that wants to learn these things, or you can be an instructor. And a little later on, we're going to be offering additional classes and some other things. But for right now, it's the sewing, and the crocheting. So, Sister Liz, give them your telephone number, email address, so those that are interested can connect with you.
Yes. My telephone number is 484-751-7285. And my email is M as in Mary, R as in Robert, S as in Sam, LIZ71@gmail.com. That's Miss Liz 71@gmail.com.
All right. Now, again, you know, when I listen to Mr. Farrakhan speak, it sent chills through me in certain ways as well. And I think more so because of certain things that we are planning. And I know he doesn't know that, but yet at the same time, some of the things he was talking about are some of the things that we're actually preparing for. You know, most do not know. And again, we'll start, you know, giving more insight into certain things next week as a part of our anniversary. But we're looking at doing some things in Detroit, some very key things, as a matter of fact, which you cannot get, can't go into right at the moment. But we've been looking at Detroit for a while. In fact, Sister Angela and I had been to Detroit several times in the past couple of years, again, in preparation to do certain things there. And so for 2019, it's literally going to be a major activity happening in Detroit. So I just felt it was very interesting that it seems the connection without us even trying, right, is right there. And it's just going to be very interesting to see how these next moves are. But again, to go back to something that I think is very, very important, and that is that Black women now have to really stand up. We get ready to be played, seriously, because white women are organizing nationwide, and they're doing it in a way that they're pulling or that their focus is to pull Black women into their fold, so that in 2020, when it's time for the election, they will have convinced Black folks to vote Democrat for Democrats. Not so much because Democrats is any real different from anything else. It's just that 45 is just so obviously ridiculous that, you know, they're going to use that to kind of push people to vote democratically. But again, this is why me and Black women, we're going to have a national Black women's political convention next year, because we need to make certain that our platform, that our demands, et cetera, are at least heard based on what we're talking about, not what nobody else talking about, and it ain't about nobody else, you see. So Black women, we're going to now see who is really who when it comes to us moving forward as we should from a historical, cultural, Black experience perspective. You know, the lines are, in fact, drawn in the sand, okay? So, Sister Liz, you know, I know we've had talks on numerous occasions. Now, what are your thoughts in terms of the Million Woman Party? How do you think, or have you given some thoughts to how we should proceed in some of that? Now, note, family, we're not talking about trying to create a new party in the context of, like, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, because y'all got to know it's a setup, first of all. Right. And here's why we say that. One, who selected these people, particularly when it comes to the higher offices? Who selected them to even be in the position to run for president, vice president, whatever? Where did that come from? And even in your local areas, you know, we have to really examine who is backing the candidates who tend to be in the forefront. Now, certainly that tends to be the party. So that means that that candidate is going to do what the party is telling them they want done. Why? Because the party is more than likely financing to some extent that candidate. That's how this game is played. So now, with that said, our position is not to, again, be like the Democratic Republican Party in such a way that, you know, we are trying to compete with them or be in the running with them. That's not our game plan at all. We're going to educate. We're going to train. We're going to provide information and other kinds of, you know, proactive things, you know, but also help finance campaigns, regardless of what party it is, if we choose to do that. You see, this makes things a little different. So, family, again, we are looking to recruit new, committed, dedicated Black folks. Mm-hmm. Okay? In local areas. And this is why our party is, you know, very, very different, because we're focused, we're special interest. Let's put it that way. We're special interest. And it is our intention to formulate what's known as a PAC, a political action committee. Also a PAC, you know. But the idea is we've got to get in this game, but we've got to play it in a way that doesn't have us doing the same old thing that everybody else is doing. And by the way, by us saying that we're pro-Black, I think it kind of makes us different right there. Because who else is saying
that? Absolutely. So with
go ahead,
that, and by that, setting up that type of forum, it's going to separate those who wants to continue to stay with the other PACs, and that's fine. That's what we want
to
do.
That's right.
Right. And so, absolutely. And just like, it's just, like you said, it's not creating a new party, but what it's doing is investing in creating a new realm of people who are like-minded like us.
Mm-hmm.
That are going to be in those positions to get into these. Because, see, you know, with this political game, you got to understand that they'll be able to create bills, legislations, all those things, right? To conform to what we are fighting for. So that's where the education and the training come in. And so it's going to be real powerful.
It's going to
be a power move. A power move, because it's not going to be funded by, and when you say where does these people, you know, get a, it comes from, listen, I'm working on a campaign now, you know, and guess what? They got three unions in there that's funding this for one candidate. You understand? So those are their super PAC. That candidate super PAC is being funded by these three unions. Because once he gets in there, then the union gonna tell him what to do and how to do it.
Yep.
See.
Yep.
So that seems like these big pharma companies and these corporations, when they fund their guy or gal,
yep,
they tell them just what to do when they get in there. So,
see, one of the things that we've seen, one of the things that we've seen, Sister Liz, is that a lot of our people do not understand politics in terms of how it's actually played.
Mm-hmm.
We just know the surface stuff. And so we're going to be doing sessions in what some call civics, so that people really understand some of the intricacies, some of the ins and outs, not just going to the polls and you know, pushing that thing. No. I mean, that's crazy. In this day and age, come on.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Now, understand, y'all talking, and I'm telling you, it's not going to look good, because it's not going to get flipped. Understand, it's November. Ain't nothing going to happen. That house and stuff ain't getting flipped. I'm trying to tell you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, see, he strategically put in them tax breaks and tax cuts in last year. The largest cronies, the billionaires, the millionaires, and corporations, all that money, and guess what they doing? They already flooding his 2020 campaign, giving them money for that. You see?
Wow.
And it gets better. It gets better because in 2019, all those people who voted the Trump leverage, wait till they go to try to file for taxes and claim their houses and their children's student loans. You're going to see a whole lot of them being killing themselves, killing each other, and the whole nine. I'm just saying.
You know, speaking of student loans, speaking of student loans, Sister Liz, one of the things that after next week, we'll be going to some of the colleges and meeting with some of the black student groups to get them involved in the We Charge Genocide program campaign because you know, they need to know that they need to fight for not being in debt with these student loans. And we have to raise to these Congress people, particularly those that are, you know, dark, the so-called Congressional Black Congress, those folks, as well as some of the state and Senate reps. We've got to present the argument to them that it is an injustice, to say the least, that our young black students, or any of our students, period, young, old, whatever, to pay or to be asked to pay the same amount for tuition that a white student is paying. And so I know someone looked at that and say, well, you know, you can't do that. You can't, like, discriminate and say, you know, our students shouldn't be paying the same as another, you know, ethnic group or student, you know, is paying. And I'm saying, yeah, we can.
Sure.
Yeah, we can.
It was those
and
black
will.
Ancestors that built those institutions. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah.
The question has to be asked. Did their ancestors, were their ancestors forced into labor and had to work in this country for years upon years? So you're saying that our students need to pay the same as these other people whose ancestors did not do any of that? We have to pay the same thing? Well, let's really have that conversation in the court.
Right.
You see?
So on that note,
and that's
what right?
Yeah.
With that being said, as far as these student loans, my son, I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something real great up there in Lancaster. I told you he's doing something. Now he's reducing people's student loans. I don't know how he's doing it. Dramatically. And so I'm trying to get him to come to Philly. He's going to see if he can. He's got to get it cleared to get his to make sure he can do his thing here in Philadelphia, get his license and get the license to do here in Philadelphia, because he's doing something. He's about to change the game. That boy changing the game. I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting people out of debt.
Right.
And it's all free.
Right.
I'm saying it again. Free.
Right. And we're going to talk more about that in the very near future, Sis Liz, because we need to get that information for our people. But we need to also make sure they don't even get to that point, that they don't even get in the position where they are in debt, period.
Yep.
You see, that's where the struggle is. That's where the fight is.
Right.
That for future generations, that they don't even have to entertain any of that anyway. And so while people talk about reparations, most think about it in the context of, well, give me a check, right? No, no. I mean, for those that want to fight or struggle for that, you know, by all means do so. But our position is compensation for the injuries that have been inflicted upon us as a people have to happen. And here are some of the ways that this can be, that there can be a resolution, that there can be a remedy. And that is that for the future, our students, our people, regardless of how old they are, what the age is, should be able to go to any so-called school, higher education, or training or whatever, tuition-free.
Yep.
Tuition-free as a form of compensation for ex-slaves. And again, for those of you who are familiar with the work of Cali House, I'm not talking about something that's just some, you know, some pie in the sky or something that hasn't happened or wasn't attempted or whatever. When you read Cali House, Mother Cali House, this is exactly what they were striving to do in the 1800s. And, of course, there was opposition by this government, and we expect opposition now. But so what? Does that mean we don't do it because there's going to be opposition? You've never seen our people obtain anything and there wasn't any opposition. So if that's, you know, what folks are thinking, they got another thing coming. But the point being, we've got to make certain that for the future, we put things in place where whatever we don't accomplish, there will at least be enough work for the next generation to have something to, you know, some to work with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yes, it is.
All right, family. Well, what we're going to do, we are going to move right along. Again, we're going to be coming to various cities in the next couple of months, setting up our We Charge Genocide various committees for every city, because we have to start getting the stats, the information, the reports. Of course, Sister Manira has been kind enough to keep us updated on what's going on in Newark with the lead in the water. Again, genocide. I guarantee you the suburban areas and the areas where there's more affluent people or higher income, guarantee you they ain't having no problem with their water. And by the way, let me tell you the connection between gentrification and this water thing. Many of the urban cities that have undergone or is undergoing heavy gentrification operations, interestingly enough, they are putting in new pipes in the streets. Now, note, many of the people that live there for many, many years are now gone. So the new people that come in will have new pipes, meaning no lead. And note, they got rid of the people who were there. Again, gentrification created that kind of, you know, situation where the properties would remain blighted, where crime would increase. Again, if you have a whole bunch of abandoned properties and those properties are not boarded up and trash or whatever becomes, you know, the thing that goes into them and blah, 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 then obviously or ultimately you're going to have an increase in so-called crime. And they wait for that. And that's what's really going on here in Philly and in other cities. And by the way, for the past couple of years, Chicago has been considered the murder capital, you know, in terms of black folks being killed, particularly by, you know, other black folks. Well, I can tell you that in the next year or so, that will more than likely change, because this is what they do. It shifts from city to city over the course of 5 to 10 years. And then a new city becomes the murder capital, as they call it. Well, again, these things are also connected to gentrification. And so they do these things intentionally so that they can begin to legally, according to them, legally declare a location, you know, at risk or in need of redevelopment. And at that point, they can start issuing eminent domain and other kinds of things to get the people out. So again, gentrification is now also being utilized to as a cover up for the lead poisoning that has been occurring for our people for decades. So now, because they feel that they are, you know, going through this urban renewal process with these new buildings and so forth, when they dig up the streets and put in these new pipes, it has the average person thinking that this is part of the urban renewal process. But it's also a part of them covering their backs, because a lot of the people that this stuff really affected over the years is no longer there. So there will be no evidence at this point. Okay. This is a very sophisticated thing that's going on with the masses of our people. And for whatever reason, we are allowing both the enemy that is very obvious as well as the enemy that look like us, we are letting them get away with this stuff. Okay. And so, again, we are in the process now of coordinating and organizing units whereby these task force will be able to be real watchers. Here's a question. Sister Liz, you still there? Okay,
yes,
maybe
I'm
Sister
still
Liz.
Here.
Okay.
No, I'm
here's,
here.
Here's a question. Okay, here's a question, Sister Liz. And family, I want you all to chime in if you have an answer to this. Does anyone know, and I know you all probably do, so I'm going to make it a twofold question. You know what a whistleblower is. So let me ask, do you know of a black organization that trains whistleblowers?
No.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see, see people don't take us seriously because we're not doing things to protect ourselves in the ways that we could.
I know of many organizations that train black people to be whistleblowers.
Right.
I'm just saying. Right.
No,
I mean, put the infiltrate to come in and infiltrate. You know, the FBI,
I mean,
you know, we all know.
They send people, you're right. They send people to infiltrate us. But I mean, it's not even that deep. Meaning, they ain't even got to go that far. We're talking about just making certain that our people are a little more aware and a little more prepared to report or, you know, watch certain things that they know or is injurious. I mean, what kind of mechanism do we have available? Like for example, in certain communities, they have hotlines where you can, you know, snitch on people or, you know, you got different things that you can report, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, so when it comes to us, what mechanisms do we have in place where if a person wants to provide us with some information, who would they be going to do that? If you worked somewhere and you knew that, you know what, that product right there, there's nothing wrong with that. Where would they go? Who would they take that to? Who would they, even if they were to send a letter, who would they send it to thinking that, you know, something realistically would be done?
Right.
Okay. These are some of the things that we're now talking about. With MWM family, you're going to hear and see different components and units that we are now activating, such as a consumer protection and awareness group. Where are there black consumer and protection awareness people? How come other people do be doing all of that? What kinds of information are we giving our people that deals with consumer protection and awareness? You see, again, we talk about community, but yet how are we operating? Because all of these things kind of, you know, designate or indicate community in a real sense. So this is why, again, A Million Black Women Rising is really not only proactive in terms of our women, but our family and community to put these things in place that's going to help us not only survive, but flourish. And so we're going to see now who it's who, because who's going to be supporting these endeavors. So, again, next week, family, we're going to be disclosing to you some of the black print, which includes us going to some of these churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've already sent a message to the president of the, what is it called, the Council of Black Clergy here in Philadelphia. We've already requested a meeting with him because we not only want to make certain that our black clergy support the We Charge Genocide campaign, but we want to also ask if we're able to utilize their church from time to time to hold community educational kinds of sessions. Yep. We're going to also talk to them about being able to provide services to women who are victims of being violated. Yep. And now we're going to see who is going to respond to that kind of thing. And, of course, those that don't, well, we'll be asking the question why. It's going to be a very interesting year, to say the least. At any rate, family, we're going to get ready to close this session out. Before we do, if you have a question, a comment, you want MWM to come in your city, you want to become a member, and we certainly hope that you do, because we're doing a major membership campaign now. And as a matter of fact, if you wish to make a donation, you can do that as well. And right now, you could just go do that with PayPal and just put in our email address, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can use the Cash App. And with Cash App, you use, the ID is HOT 1111. Again, and I think, hashtag HOT, H-O-T, 1111. That's our Cash App address. All right. Sister Liz, you got anything else you want to share with us before we close out tonight?
No. I think we covered just about all we're going to cover tonight.
Well, all right. All right, family. We are here every night this week. We will be coming to you either at 10 or 10:30 every night this week, because this is Million Woman March week. And again, we'll be Thursday at the Free Library at 19th and Vine Street. We're there from 5:30 until 8:30. So there'll be lots of information. We want sisters, if you have a business, come out, bring your business card. We want to begin to set up our network of our black women businesses as well. And, of course, if you have a young girl that you want to bring by to sign her up for the Little Sisters program or the Saving Our Daughters program, you can bring her by, or you can just come by and pick up the application form. Again, that is on the 18th, October 18th, from 5:30 to 8:30. And then we'll be, of course, at the Paul Robeson House next week, which will be on October 25th. I think that's Wednesday. We'll be there at 7 o'clock for the press briefing, community information meeting. The doors open at 6:30. And, of course, being at the Paul Robeson House, we will certainly be advising everyone about the We Charge Genocide campaign. 1 million signatures we're now preparing to obtain to take to the United Nations. We have a plan of action to do that. That's unlike anything that we've seen. So wait till you hear how that's getting ready to go down, family. And again, a GoFundMe will be put up next week for the We Charge Genocide campaign. So we'll be giving you more information about that also this week for you, along with some other things. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Liz. Well, thank you, as usual, for always bringing in some insight, information, and good vibrations. And family, we are going to close this session out. Just want to, again, remind you, we do have a major membership drive going on for A Million Black Women Rising. If you want more information, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And if you want to connect with Sister Liz, particularly we're talking about registering for the classes that are coming up. And by the way, in December, some of our health sessions go into effect. And one of the health sessions is going to be our community chefs. We have three community chefs that we'll be featuring in December. We'll be telling you more about that, but we want to make sure that our people are a little more in tune to optimizing their health. And so we'll literally be having some classes on food prep as well as information about health and nutrition, and you'll get the opportunity to taste, sample some of the new products that we're looking at, you know, distributing as part of, you know, again, our revenue stream that we're getting ready to put in place. So, again, we'll be telling you more about that. That's not until December, but certainly we'll be doing a lot of other things during the month of November and, of course, as I said, December. By the way, we do have a pre-Kwanzaa program that's coming up as well. And, again, we'll be filling you in as we go. There is also a journal that is being made available to you, and I'll give you more information on that tomorrow. All right, family, we thank you all again. We will be back tomorrow. Again, I'm not sure if it'll be 10 o'clock or 10:30, but we'll certainly be sending out a blast through the email as well as through our texts. But you'll also be able to dial a number, I believe, the number that you called to plug in for tonight. If you call that number some point tomorrow, it'll probably tell you the time for the broadcast as well once we log it in. All right, family, we thank you all again, and we are going to leave with Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Again, if you want to hear the entire presentation that was given on Sunday as a part of the Million Man March 23-year anniversary, just go to the NOI website. The entire speech is there. And again, we salute our brothers who participated 23 years ago, and certainly our black men who have continued in the spirit of real black men. We love you all. We respect you all. We thank you all. And we look forward to building with you real black men. What more can I say? For multitude to shinda, together we shall win. Peace to you all.
Yeah, peace.
You ought to know it. Mr. Bronson is across the water making whiskey. He was bootlegged. And the Purple Gang would receive from Mr. Bronson and cut it. You know how you do with the cocaine. Did I touch your number? Did I reach your home address? You know, it's getting kind of warm in here now. I'm getting to the end. But it might take me a few minutes to get there. But brothers and sisters, right in the midst of decadence, bootlegging, gambling, prostitution, Master Fard Muhammad came. You did not know who he was. I did not know who he was.